Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
His response from the 52-yard miss, I believe, I think he showed a lot of character in that moment where he came back and he bounced back and he hit two clutch, the one to tie it, I think, and the one to win it. So, I think he showed the moxie he has and the confidence that he's starting to gain. And I think it was critical for him, and it was awesome to see the kid and how he rebounded in that moment. And, I think what's even better is you see how his teammates reacted around him. And I think that is really, really cool. And I think what a lot of people forget is that, he was injured a lot last year, and he went through a tough time, and things like that happen in this league, and it's a matter of how you respond.
I was ready to trade.
He faced some adversity, and he dug himself out of it, and he's doing a really nice job.
I thought that was the end. I'm ready to trade back for Debo to bring him back to judo chop him again.
Tabor Pepper?
I understand Debo, what he did.
Tabor Pepper. I get it now.
Dude, I 100% get it. And you know what? To go on about that and people flocking up, this is why preseason football stinks. Because everybody takes everything so damn seriously. That meant nothing. It meant nothing. How quickly does anybody bring up the 59-yarder now against the Raiders?
It means nothing. Bonte, I said to this guy in the preseason, I go, he can hit every practice kick, every exhibition kick. Week one, what did I say? Week one.
Well, he missed two kicks in practice.
My faith with him was zero.
Well, I have no more faith in him. And you know what? The special teams unit overall, punt return game, Sky Moore, they're a disaster.
Penalties.
Punt team was terrible. Seattle had a big kickoff return. Brett Boyer's got to get this unit buttoned up, man. Seriously, they're going to cost them a football game. You cannot, not with this football team. With a young team, a young defense, and an offense that's going through their injuries or whatnot, you go down to New Orleans with Jake Moody, you're asking for an L. You're asking for him to miss it in a Superdome.
Why is he still on the team right now, Bonte?
They're bringing in some options today, so maybe Wednesday he's cleaned out his locker, but the fact that Shanahan, he said no question on Sunday that he'll be back on the team. But then yesterday on the little presser, the Zoom in or whatever it was, he said, yeah, we're bringing in, all options are open. So who knows if Jake Moody played his last game with the 49ers.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HG1, San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And courtesy of River Islands, we have Bonte Hill in studio. Again, every single Tuesday, we get a double dose of Brian Baldinger and Bonte Hill. Baldy's at 7:30, Bonte starting at 8, all in studio. Awesome stuff. We're breaking it all down, the good, the bad, the ugly, from a week one win up in Seattle. No Kittle the next couple weeks. Potentially no Juwan Jennings. Maybe no Purdy in New Orleans. We'll see.
Hopefully no Moody.
We'll see, right? Like, if they somehow, if he survives this, then it's like the Marvin Lewis in Cincinnati for so long. I don't know how he lasted that long in Cincinnati. We always thought there were like the naked pictures or something, or there were emails. If he survives this week, there is something to the conspiracy theory.
There's a handful of athletes I can remember where the entire core of the Bay Area fandom is like, we don't care if you become the greatest kicker of all time.
No, he's done.
You go somewhere else. It's over. Okay? I hate saying this out loud. Mike Dunleavy at one time, fans hated him.
They booed immediately.
Jordan Poole, people were done. They were done with Jordan Poole. It's okay. We like him, but a lot of people.
I don't know. I don't know if I'll put Jordan Poole in that category.
A lot of people were done with him at the end.
But it was split. It was
Armando Benitez, Mark Melanson, right? There are certain individuals, Kyle Williams.
I can't put Jordan Poole in that category, but. I hear you on the other guys.
Season in general, like, it all funneled to Jordan Poole very unfairly, as we've seen.
No, it's not his fault.
No, yeah.
I'm just saying the bulk of the fans saying, I don't care. You have to go, right?
I mean, I don't know how he survives. Buckle fest.
People love Jordan Poole. It was
okay. The Dexter Carter. About,
yeah, Dexter Carter. Say
okay,
Dexter Carter.
Like I keep going down the list.
Yeah, Adam Walker when he fumbled against the Green Bay Packers with the cast
holding
on his
the
head.
Ball up here.
With the cast on his head, and they were down 21-0 at Candlestick. Look, man, yeah, beat writers out there texting, "Hey, Jake Moody's accepted your apologies."
Wait. Was that Lombardi?
No names. Listen,
if you're saying in a preseason game that you're accepting apologies on a kicker,
that's what I'm talking about.
What are we doing?
That's what I'm talking about. It was the preseason. It was like, and he made that 59-yarder, and I cackled. Because, look, Jake Moody, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He did have the dislocated ankle, and he tried to tough it out last year. But when he missed that, did he miss a kick in the Denver game? In the Denver preseason game? Did he miss an extra point or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Every game, right. He's like 11 for 1,000 or whatever it is of the last
he's
two
gotta
years.
He's got to go. He's got to go.
Bonte, I'm in the living room with the little guy, and his big thing now is, and he misses the kick, and I go, this guy! And he goes,
That's right.
And I go, yes, LJ,
Yeah, big all right, so we talked about the kicker. It's just, you just have to move on from that. The special teams...
You got to move on from it. No, hey, Spadoni, he's going to cost him a game.
Well, that's, no, I'm saying you have to move on from the kicker.
This division is going to be so tight. It's going to be so tight. You cannot allow this guy back on the football.
How does John Lynch, a guy that played in the game for so long and played the way he did, how can he tolerate what's going on?
Didn't he have Martin Gramatica?
Need something like yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying like when I think of John Lynch, it's like tough, no nonsense. Like the kicker better not ruin the game for the rest of the real players. And like the fact that they're letting this happen is absurd.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
So what are you more concerned about right now? Is it the special teams unit in general, or is it the offensive line for the 49ers? Those are my biggest takeaways from the first week. If we're going the good, the bad, and the ugly, also the red zone offense in general.
Well, the good is Saleh.
Yeah, the Saleh was
amazing. Saleh's going to fix the defense.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, the defense is going to be there
and
ahead of schedule.
I feel really good about all the draft picks because of Saleh.
I swear to God, I thought the defense was going to struggle in this game.
I did too.
I thought the offense was going to have to carry the defense, and the defense is ahead of schedule.
They showed up.
The biggest concern right now is Brock Purdy.
Mm.
It's the shoulder and the toe. Mm. You just gave him a massive contract. And I was thinking about this on the way in as I was listening to you guys. And I'm a weirdo. I remember things that I shouldn't remember. But Bill Parcells had joined Jolo and Dibs way back in the day when Garoppolo first got here. And he mentioned something. He said, you know, with this frame, I worry about his durability. Can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the football field? Well, we figured out that Garoppolo has a hard time staying on the football field.
There are only two players in the history of the Hall of Fame in the modern era that are under 6'2", meaning 6'1" and below, in the Hall of Fame at quarterback. Only two, Fran Tarkenton, and it'll be Drew Brees.
Yep, no doubt.
Russell Wilson. I think he might have played himself out.
No, but to his point, size is a big
size
thing.
And durability.
Size matters.
We're watching Spadoni, Brock Purdy get beat up a little bit. How can he last 18 games year in and year out? When he's on the field, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm confident.
He's good.
He's running the offense at a high level. I'm good with that. But can he stay on the field? And now, after week one, you got the shoulder and the toe, and I don't care if he's playing on grass or turf. Can he stay healthy over a full game, over a full season?
Well, and for a guy that's game is predicated on scrambling and to not trust your offensive line. So even if Bonte, he does play through this toe injury, that's going to affect the mobility.
Yeah, his style of play.
That's going to affect his style of play. And if he loses a step, let's say that happened this last week, right? Or the same situation. Maybe that play where he scrambles out and gets it to Tonjes, maybe it's a tackle for loss. Maybe he does. Maybe the player runs into, like, that's the difference we're talking about here. Just a step is enough to turn it from a first down, a touchdown, or a sack.
And it makes you... maybe speed up in the pocket when you shouldn't, you know, because you're worried about taking a hit or getting stepped on or whatever. Like, there's a lot that goes in. The other part of this, B, is like long term. Jimmy Garoppolo is a shell physically of what he used to be.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying that's going to happen to Purdy, but there's a wear and tear. When I watch Russell Wilson, he looks nothing physically like the player from a couple years ago.
A lot of shots, a lot of hits.
Yeah.
And again, Bill Parcells is a Hall of Fame. If I had to put him on he's one of the five best coaches I've ever seen in my life, Bill Parcells.
He's great.
He made every team competitive.
The big tuna.
Every team contended, the big tuna. And when he said that back in 2016 when Garoppolo got traded there, that stuck with me.
He also
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, he had the algorithm of what to look for in a drafted quarterback.
No doubt.
3 years of starting and under center this many times. And the size was a thing.
So with Brock Purdy, and we know how this fan base is. Mac Jones comes into the game on Sunday. and say if he plays 2 weeks and Mac Jones is rolling, I didn't know how half this fan base is going to think. We pay Purdy when you could have just paid Mac Jones and let him run the offense. There's not a big, you know they're going to do that. People are going to do that.
Oh, hell.
They did it with Nick
Mullins.
What
is Mac going to look like behind this offensive line?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know. Like, and without Juwan Jennings,
exactly.
Possibly, if he
and
does
no
play.
George Kittle, obviously.
And no George Kittle. So
Kittle's a huge loss.
I don't know, but I do worry about the durability. He's already had the elbow. He got hurt last year, Brock Purdy, how many times? Twice. Out of nowhere, he had the elbow. He had to sit a couple games out. So that's a concern long-term with Brock Purdy. Can he stay healthy for a full 17-game stretch year in and year out with his body type?
He hurt the shoulder against the Patriots diving on that, or maybe it was the Cardinals, where he was diving for that. Yep. I remember that first down when he got vertical, he hurt his shoulder, but it was the non-throwing shoulder.
And he also hurt his back in that game, too.
That's right.
And then, obviously, the right shoulder injury, he had to sit out against the Packers, return against Buffalo. But Buffalo, you saw in that game, like Christian McCaffrey looked like he was almost back, and then he got hurt in that game, remember? But it was in the snow, and you saw the difference immediately with the arm strengths with the two quarterbacks, with Josh Allen on one side and Brock Purdy on another. By the way, that Sunday Night Football game was just absolutely incredible. I'm still thinking about it. I'm sure you are too, Bonte. Just week one is over, and there was so many different storylines. We're talking about it all right here. And there is something I do want to talk about nationally when it does come to the quarterback conversation. Bonte, we'll do it on the other side. In 888-957-9570. If you have any questions for Bonte Allen Studio right here, hit us up on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. But how we discuss quarterbacks, and last night was just a perfect example of the toxicity around the position. It's gotten out of control. It's gotten out of control.
I actually want to expand on this because, you know, look, some of these guys just might not be the right guys. But when you invest what these teams invest into the young quarterbacks, and if you trust the play caller, why they can't just be patient with the development process is beyond me. Now, I understand the veterans want to win and all that, but if you trust Kevin O'Connell and you have the long-term view, you can't wait a half for these criticisms to come flaring down on a player?
We'll discuss that on the other side. Bonte Hill and Studio on the Morning Roast, brought to you by
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Derna, the Seattle Storm, hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel via the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX Plus. Pre-game starts at 6:30. So we've been talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the 49ers win over the Seattle Seahawks, Shasky. And we were talking about, you know, quarterbacks. It dominates the conversation, right? It's always going to lead everything off. And Brock Purdy is no exception to that. We were going to do the compare and contrasting every single game because that's what we do. As we're watching the highlights right now in studio of J.J. McCarthy v1 Caleb Williams as they were going toe-to-toe yesterday.
I think, you know, the kicker position, throw that to the side. It's a very unique position. Can win and lose a game. Like, it's very clear and cut. Like, either you're making kicks or you're not. But, like, look at Upton Stout, for example, in this game. In this one game, we expect rookies to just come in and all be Aldon Smith from day one. Aldon was like a third down specialist early on in his career and then obviously became an every down player. Upton Stout was getting baptized in this one. He didn't have a preseason. I didn't see him in any of those preseason games. He missed how many weeks, B?
He missed every preseason game. Yeah. Came up with a calf injury before the first game against Denver and was out basically until the last week of training camp.
Okay, so 3 weeks, give or take.
Yep.
In this game, he flashed a little and also showed a lot of youth. He grabbed Cooper Kupp on a play. I didn't know if Cooper could even make a play on the ball. It's a play he wants back. But by the end of the game, he made a couple of nice plays. Now, overall, the leaves still a lot to be desired, but I like where the young player is out. We will see. Development is not linear. You're not just going to go flying forward. Mykel Williams, he might build on the game that he had over the weekend and he might have a couple of games where we don't see a lot of production. Who knows? We will see. Right. Alfred Collins, CJ West, same thing. I go to quarterbacks, and I'm watching the game last night for these young quarterbacks, and just for the life of me, I cannot understand why people can't allow things to breathe a little, whether it's Arch Manning at Texas, whether it's Caleb Williams, whether it's J.J. McCarthy, just overall, sports fans have such little tolerance for young players making mistakes. It bugs me, and it's not just the fans. Richard Sherman is tweeting out in real time last night in that first half, crushing J.J. McCarthy. And I get it. It looked awful. I mean, it looked really bad. But by the end of the game, he looked better. Now, who knows what he'll become? It's his first game on the road, Monday Night Football, against the Bears. It's a tough spot.
Bad field conditions, too, I want to be honest. It was not good. It was all chewed up. Did you guys see that? They didn't even do the lines right in the end zones. Awful.
But like, it's just, it takes a long time to be good in the league. And then when you are good in the league, do it again. Jaden Daniels, do it again. You know, CJ Stroud, do it again. Like, that's what we do. Brock Purdy, do it again.
An hour into the game, this is the tweet that you're referencing from Richard Sherman. Not, this is again, his first ever start in the NFL, one half of football. Not sure J.J. McCarthy is the answer in Minnesota. This is the danger of letting the guy who you had success with walk for a guy you think can do the job at a high level.
And look, there's a whole Darnold conversation, what they should have done contractually, setting the guy up. I just think overall, sports fans, the tolerance level and the former players that are talking, the tolerance level for development in real time is at an all-time low. And it drives me nuts. Arch Manning, I was telling these guys before, you know, heading into the year, I go, guys, the hype, there's just no way he's going to be able to live up to the hype. We all got to pump the brakes on this guy a little. And he's looked very mediocre. That doesn't mean he won't maybe one day be really good. He's just not there yet.
It's part of the coverage of the league.
Yeah.
First take, Nick right, Nick wrong, whatever you want to call it. All these hot shot shock jocks on television has helped shape a lot of people's opinions on sports. A lot of people, like my sisters, they'd be watching First Take. Oh, skip it. See, I was like, you don't worry nothing from that. Congratulations. I mean, they're entertaining, and they made a great career for themselves. But you don't learn anything from that.
No.
But they are the kings of, this guy can't get it done and not winning the championship. Oh, this guy stinks. He stunk it up. I don't trust him. Really? You know how nuanced football is? First of all, it's the ultimate team sport. The
no
ultimate.
Doubt.
The quarterback can't. We saw this in the Super Bowl finally, and I hope people understood what I was talking about during the Super Bowl. Mahomes may be the greatest we've ever seen. He may be one day be considered one of the greatest we've ever seen.
He's probably in the argument already. And when it's all said and done, who knows where he'll finish.
And we saw what happened when a couple things broke down. Whether it's the offensive line, whether it's not having wide receivers, whether it's not having separation on the outside, whether it's not having a running game. And so these people form these opinions after one quarter of football. And I've tried my best to evolve and learn. And I've always, I felt like I had it. But now that I've been sitting back a little bit, just saying, just let the game play out. Games, not every game's going to be pretty. You're not going to win every game 45-3. You're not going to be 25-28 for 350 every single game and score four touchdowns. Fantasy football has also had an impact on this.
Totally agree.
Fantasy football, we look at fantasy football, look at the box score, and oh man, this guy, like Caleb Williams on paper, fantasy football had a pretty good day.
Yeah.
For fantasy football users.
My eyeballs told me that, and I'm a big Caleb fan. I'm rooting for him. He's got to learn touch.
He's got to learn touch.
He throws a rifle ball, and he's very inaccurate. I think it's sloppy footwork.
And he was gun-shy in the first half. I was seeing it. It's like, oh, he's scared to make a mistake, which I get because you're playing against Brian Flores and a defense that's as exotic as any defense in the league. So
they won 15 games, that Viking team.
You know, it's so that's why the whole Jimmy, going back to Jimmy, when he passed the ball 8 times. I understood it because, look, you're running the ball down the Packers' throat. Yeah, you don't want the quarterback to make a mistake. It's his first postseason. But you got to do what you got to do to win games in this league. At the end of the day, those players in the locker room, all they care about is winning.
Yep.
Winning on Sunday, Monday, or Thursday. And so the way we talk about quarterbacks, it's jumped the shark how we talk about sports in general.
Well, it's so funny because everyone is talking about that Sunday night football game between the Bills and the Ravens and saying, oh, this is one of the greatest regular season games we've ever seen. Yeah, remember how we talked about both those quarterbacks? It was not a immediate success for both of them. Now, Lamar in, took the lead a little bit by storm. He wasn't an MVP candidate immediately. Joe. Josh Allen was not an MVP candidate immediately. Those guys struggled.
Joe, that game, Sunday night, Like, those guys are playing a whole nother sport. I mean, they're so good.
But think about the way
it's stupid how good they are.
But just think about the way we used to talk about those guys.
But
hell, people are still doubting Lamar. They're still doubting Abonte.
It's like Curry in the finals. Well, you know, Curry hasn't done it in the finals. Like, all the big games leading up to it don't matter. And I feel the same way about Lamar. And unfortunately, until he wins in the playoffs, he's going to have that monkey on his back.
It was Peyton Manning for the longest time.
No doubt.
He couldn't get over that Patriots hump, right?
No
doubt. It was Tom getting all of it. He was the winner until finally they broke through, right? But it's funny how we've evolved and how we talk about these quarterback positions.
The Curry thing was so dumb. It was like he needed that championship against Boston to submit his legacy. Like, what have you been watching the last decade? Why do we do this all the time?
Isaiah Thomas has KD saved a legacy. You see that one?
So let's bring it back to Purdy. So, like, in this game, right, like, I thought his first half was brilliant. But you look up and they had 7 points.
Yep.
Right? Because teams execute.
Exactly.
Teams are who's scoring, and teams are how you move the ball down the field. Okay? Then I look at that third quarter. Not a good third quarter at all for him, for the team. But I thought the defense hung tough, gave them an opportunity. And when it mattered the most in winning time, he was making plays. You want to call them lucky or fortunate plays? Fine. I'm going to call them, hey, letting my playmakers make plays and throwing the ball up and at least having the cojones to try to make plays. And I thought he was excellent in that fourth quarter and particularly that final drive. And then Nick Bosa, who was quiet for stretches in this game, comes through with another big play when this team absolutely needed it. That's why you spend hundreds of millions of dollars on both of those players, is to make plays when it's winning time, Bonte.
Did anybody actually think that they're going to go up to Seattle and just smoke the Seahawks?
No.
A divisional opponent.
Week one.
A division game, week one, home opener. The Niners hadn't won in that time slot since 2008 when they won 33-30 when Patrick Willis had the great pick six up in Seattle. Now, they had a Saturday game
when
they won They haven't won in that time slot
Saturday
in Seattle.
At 1 o'clock. Saturday
at 1. Really?
Sunday 1
Sunday
o'clock.
One.
So, excuse me, Sunday
2008. 2008 when they won 33-30. Now, they beat them 19-17. Think about it. They beat them 19-17 when Harbaugh, but that game was on a Saturday. 19-17. Okay. It was on a Saturday.
Last year was a Thursday night
Thursday
game.
Thursday night game. They played them on Thursday night, Thanksgiving.
That is
Sunday night. I was looking it up. I was like, this is crazy. And Seattle's a home dog. They usually win those games.
Yeah.
So, look, you do what you got to do when they win a football, especially early on.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty. You're trying to figure out what your roster is. You're trying to find out who your studs are. Okay, who can I play? Who can I not play? Whatever it is. So, I, the way we are so hypercritical, and J.J. McCarthy, credit to him, I'm not the biggest J.J. McCarthy fan.
No.
I don't think highly of him.
I ended up rooting for him.
Because of social media yesterday.
I found myself doing the same thing.
You know what it reminded me of? Just the whole game plan and the way he looked as a player. He's faster. He might be stronger early on. It reminded me of Norv Turner with Alex Smith. Where this is clearly a young player who maybe doesn't see the field as well as we all think.
Yep.
But I actually came away walking up. I like him. I'm going to pull for him.
I am. I was down at that Rose Bowl when I saw him in Michigan. I was like, he's all right.
He had that one throw.
Yeah. But I prefer Milroe, even though Milroe fumbled that game away.
It was almost a pick six the very first play, but they called it out because the DB was out of bounds.
I know, and I doubled down. Carter will love this. I had 500 on Alabama going into the game, and when he threw that pick and they called it back, I said, you know what, I'm doubling down on Alabama. There's no way they lose this game. And then Jalen Milroe fumbles in the fourth quarter, gets Michigan a shot, and I'm out of,
Jalen Milroe had a snap on Sunday in
Third
Seattle.
Play of the game. Yeah, second play of the game.
What a waste of play. One yard.
The one I loved the most from Seattle, Darnold ran to the left, turned around, and threw a back screen to the right. It was the most bizarre play. I don't know. Some of their play calling was a little.
Just because Clint Kubiak was in the Shanahan system doesn't mean he's ready to call. Did he get fired by Houston?
That was Bobby Slowick.
That was Bobby Slowick who got fired. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The other Kubiak was in New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Right?
I think it was in New Orleans. Yeah.
Was he in New Orleans?
I think it was in New Orleans.
Clay. This is all the Kubiaks right there. Bonte Hill in studio right now, courtesy of River Islands, as he is each and every Tuesday now. We got a double dose of Baldy and Bonte every single Tuesday going forward throughout the NFL season.
So, all right, fellas, we're looking at this Niner team. You get a win, you survive in advance, but what was the cost? The cost right now, you look at George Kittle, who knows? 3 at minimum. Three to five weeks.
Yeah.
Three to five. He's probably out a month.
I think so, too. I keep going back to October 12th.
That sucks. He was literally your best player last year on offense. That's brutal.
He's one of the franchise greatest players
ever. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, and this is one of those kinds of injuries. Even if he comes back, like, what version is he?
Yeah.
Does it linger all year?
Hamstrings are tricky.
They're very tricky. Then I look at Juwan Jennings. I think this is a big injury, too. They needed him. There was a specific play where Witherspoon blitzed off the edge. Juwan Jennings just sat down and vacated the hot route spot. And Purdy just bang, hit him right there, first down. Like, they don't have a body type on the roster right now that looks like Juwan.
No, they need DeMarcus Robinson back in a heartbeat.
Yes.
And you can't count on Brandon Ayuk. Again, it's similar to last year's with Christian McCaffrey. If you got anything from McCaffrey, it was going to be a bonus.
Yep.
That's how I feel about Brandon Ayuk this season.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bonus, whatever you get from BA. And I hope he plays well. I hope he performs well. But that injury was devastating.
Yeah,
and he's got to get up to game speed after not playing over a year and in practice. And we don't know where the hell he's going to be at with that knee injury. Is he going to trust it right away? I have no idea. So they need DeMarcus Robinson back. And obviously he won't be back until the Jaguars game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Number four.
He's missed the first three due to suspension. And this is where I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan, Bonte. If we want to talk about him as one of the best in the business, hey, Robert Saleh had all the excuses in the world for him if they didn't perform on Sunday, right? There's a lot of new names, a lot of no names in that defense. You know what they did? They held the opposition to 13 points.
But you need playmakers.
You do need playmakers.
Players and teams. The Rams defense is legit.
You absolutely
need the Cardinals, I think, are sneaky good.
I hear you.
Tampa Bay showed out against Atlanta on Sunday and did what they had to do to slow them down. I know the kicker missed a kick to send it to overtime, but Tampa Bay, I thought their defense played very well for the most part of that game. You don't have playmakers. It's going to be tough to move the football.
That's where I'm looking at the quarterback and what version of the quarterback and which quarterback are we going to have. That's another question.
But you can just put on me real quick.
Yeah,
you can only do so much if you don't have playmakers.
No, I know.
Right? I thought Brady was washed. Washed. Done. He was throwing to Kenbrell Tompkins and a bunch of who's.
Jacoby Myers.
Hey.
But it was rookie undrafted.
Yeah, exactly.
It was rookie. He only played like so many games.
And the greatest of all time could not move the ball because nobody was outside.
His final pass as a New England Patriot was a pick six.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Trying to go throw to Chris Hogan, I believe.
So Shanahan can scheme it up, but what does that last? 12 plays, 15 plays, 20 plays? Then you got to go out there and play and manufacture drives all game long. And if you don't have the necessary playmakers out there, I don't care what you do. You're going to struggle offensively.
And this is why I think for the next couple of weeks, boy, there's a lot of pressure on Robert Saleh, Fred Warner, and Nick Bosa.
Yeah, keep it close.
Not only keep it close, just you got to play grinded out ugly games. I think that's the whole identity of the team should be rugged, time possession, slow it down, try not to make big crucial mistakes, and this is where special teams is so important.
Yeah.
They can ill afford to have Jake Moody on this team.
It kind of felt like that first game might be emblematic of the season as a whole, Bonte. Just roller coaster ride. There's going to be a lot of ups and a lot of downs this season. But you know
what? Position matters.
This season's going to be fun to talk about. I'm excited about this because that win in week one, I know you, as a fan, you always want a blowout or whatever, but it kind of might be a season-defining win to set the tone for the season. The adversity that they had to fight through early against a division rival was massive.
I love that win for all the things you just said, Spadoni. The adversity, the loss of momentum going into the half, you lost momentum going into the fourth quarter. You didn't have the momentum.
You didn't have a lead heading into the fourth quarter.
And then all of a sudden your defense holds strong as Seattle drives into the red zone and your defense doesn't panic. Shanahan doesn't call any timeouts because I was thinking about that. Like, are you going to call some timeouts to save some time for yourself? But they come up with the big fumble. Bosa, they recover it. They go home 1-0. I love that victory because that's a character-defining victory. A lot of new dudes on that roster, offensively, defensively. You got dudes suspended. You got guys hurt. You lose your great tight end. I love that win on Sunday. And look, have some more ugly wins. I don't care. Weathering the storm in the first nine games for this team is imperative. With six of the first nine on the road. Think about that. Six of the first nine on the road. If they come out of this 5-4, 6-3, and we know what Shanahan teams does in November and December. Yep. So I feel good about that win in Seattle. I don't know who's scoffing at it. You want to nitpick about it? Go ahead. I mean, but that's New Age fandom. They're going to nitpick about everything. Ball placement. I heard fans cry about Jimmy Garoppolo throwing to Jeff Wilson Jr. on a Texas run. Well, it was kind of behind him and Jeff Wilson. Dude, Jimmy threw for over 400. Calm down. But that's what we do in sports. And four touchdowns that came back from a 16-0 deficit.
I compared it to what the Cincinnati Bengals did week one. You think the Bengals players care how they won?
No.
They won against a division rival, a tough game that they probably had no business winning, quite frankly, but they won in week one, which they haven't done in forever.
Yep.
That's all they care about.
That's all they care
Setting
about.
The tone for the season with the win, winning ugly. Shout out your boy BG Tennis Nation. Brad Gilbert knows all about it. Shout out your boy Alcaraz, by the way, with a big, massive win against Yannick Sinner. Steph Curry was there in person, by the way.
US Open was on fire.
What do we do with this Purdy long-term health thing? I mean, obviously there's a philosophy change from Shanahan in terms of investing in the offensive line, which I think we're all in unison. Like, boy, it'd be nice to just be able to see them draft some linemen higher, just in general. But that's not his philosophy on team building. But in terms of Purdy, we were looking at his college career. He didn't really miss any time because of injuries.
No.
Though he had some small stuff. It's football. It's violent. We get it. 2022, torn UCL.
Yep.
I know he didn't miss games, but he missed an entire offseason. 2023, the concussion on the quarterback sneak. And then, remember, he got removed with a stinger in that Baltimore game. And Darnold ended up coming into that game. Last year, the back injury that he had, the shoulder injury in the same game where he dove. Week 12, he missed with the right shoulder injury again. And then at the end of the year, the elbow. And now he's got a shoulder and a toe. Is that football? Is that offensive line, protection, philosophy, organizational, you know, setup and what they believe and how to build a team? Or is this, you know, something we should really be concerned about regarding Purdy and his long-term health?
Can I just say yes to all of that? Like, it's football, it's the size, it's the frame, it's the offensive line, and you're just going to get hit. Like, that's where I say, like, it's okay to say maybe some teams and some players are just unlucky with their health. Now, that's part of it. Like, that sucks that he got hurt, but this is a contact sport. So if you don't protect the guy and the player doesn't protect himself also in this regard, and that's something else we're going to need to talk about. Him protecting himself going forward as well. Knowing when to, you know, slide, run out of bounds, fall down. That's something that, you know, we kind of like look past when it came to Brady and Manning's longevity. What were they able to do all the time, Bonte, in the pocket? When they knew it was collapsing, what'd they do? Either they threw it on the ground or they just fell down.
Yep.
Just fall down. Now, I'm not saying it has to be that extreme this early on. But we're going to find out a lot about Brock Purdy's health, I think, this season, because it's getting tested right out of the gate. Last year, that didn't happen until week four, right? There was a couple weeks to go, so it was okay, and then he had a bye week, he had everything else. So we're going to find out a lot about him this week, heading into next week, and then that third game against the division rival Arizona Cardinals at home. But is it okay if I just say all of the above right there, Joe?
Yeah, I think so. Now, when the UCL injury last year. Or the elbow.
The elbow.
Was that non-contact?
They filed it under elbow.
Right. What was that, non-contact? Was
it just
tired?
They were
dead
very
arm? They were very vague about
yes,
that, right?
Yes.
So I don't. So
you could
get
the helmet hit it.
He
or something.
Also would have been missing time had they made the playoffs. That was the quiet part out loud, is that he couldn't throw for a good month or two after the season.
No, he broke his ribs, or he had a couple broken ribs after getting hit against Tampa Bay second game, remember? And then
you're right.
Nobody knew about that.
Short week.
15 minutes before Seattle, like, okay, he's ready to go. He had the flat jacket on. They gave him some painkillers, and he had to get through that game, which kind of won over the team, saying, wow, this guy is so tough here. So, look, he could have a non-contact injury. You could get hurt. It could be all of the above. Offensive line, protecting yourself. Just, you're going to get hit. It's pro football. But can you withstand those hits? Because Lamar takes some hits.
Yeah.
But Lamar's able to kind of stay up, and he'll miss a game or two here or there. Josh Allen hasn't missed anything because he knows how to protect himself. So Purdy will have to do a better job at that. But again, I go back to the Parcells quote from way back in 2016. It's probably been going on for a lot longer than that. With that frame and that body type, can you withstand the punishment year in and year out for 17 games? And that's something that we're going to find out about Purdy this year, next year, and a year after.
What do you make philosophically of the Niners being the only team in the NFL since taking Aaron Banks in 2021, the last five drafts, they're the only team in the NFL to not draft a tackle, guard, or center in the first three rounds? I'm just asking.
It's wild. It's wild.
You're smiling.
Philosophically,
it's not wild. It's ridiculous, quite frankly.
Do you agree with that philosophy?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Even if it has worked, do you agree with the philosophy?
But what... I mean, they did take this regime did take Mike McGlinchey, correct?
That was in 2018.
2018, they took Mike McGlinchey. Didn't necessarily pan out.
No,
Banks was what, a second round pick?
That's the highest since McGlinchey.
And what was that? 2021?
Second round, 2021 year. Trey Lance. So,
if you don't like the player at that draft slot, then I'm not going to just take a lineman just to take a lineman. If they feel like a lineman can't, you know, adjust to their system, their scheme, and the way they play football, then don't take the player in those first three rounds.
But this, okay. I hear you, but this goes back to, it feels like, for a fan's perspective, you're drafting kickers and running backs that you're cutting and guys that are useless in those first three picks. Cameron Latu, fourth round pick.
Right.
It's a horrible pick.
It's a horrible pick.
You know, I mean, we can find that with every organization, but I guess when you don't prioritize offensive line in the draft, it does make you scratch your head, especially when you're this team that knows firsthand. Quarterback goes down, your season's pretty cooked.
So they had Trent Williams at left tackle. They find Brindle. What did they spend?
Pooney was the fourth round.
Pooney was fourth round. That pick is hit.
And no, it's a great pick.
That pick is hit.
It's a great. It's one of their higher picks.
Right.
Real quick, what did you make of the McKivitz extension? 3 years, $45
million. You know, there's a lot of chatter about him.
He's
about
solid.
McKivitz. He hasn't missed a game since he's been the starter at right tackle. He's been healthy. And I don't think he's as bad as what online people make him seem to be. I don't think he's the greatest in the world.
No.
But have you missed Mike McGlinchey with Colt McKivitz
in the lineup? I think he's better than McGlinchey.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that.
The bang for the buck, I know 15's a lot, but look what Abe Lucas just got, and he didn't impress me that much.
Look what, who was it, Jaylon Moore?
He's
not even playing.
Yeah.
$15 million a year. So if he would have hit the open market, he would have got paid a lot of money, and you would have lost a right tackle, right? Offensive linemen do not go on trees. We're talking about them not drafting in the first three rounds. Offensive linemen. So I had no problem with the extension. I think it was a smart move by the Niners to get ahead of it, keep him in the building. He knows the scheme. He's not hurt. He's been in the lineup every single game. I don't think he's as bad as what people make him out to be. Is he a Pro Bowler? I don't know. Is he an All-Pro? I don't think so. But is he solid and serviceable? Absolutely.
So... the offensive line organizational philosophy, Shanahan philosophy, however you want to put it, like I get where they're coming from. I lean more in the Harbaugh, even Trent Baalke, I have to give him credit. When this team was really good, they invested in Joe Staley, Upati. They invested in Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. They found Alex Boone. I like investing in those high first, second round picks. I know they're not sexy. I know we want playmakers, but these offensive linemen. A couple years ago, Jim Harbaugh had the opportunity to draft Brian Thomas, and everyone was like, you got to take the wide receiver. You're cutting all these wide receivers. He took Joe Alt.
Yep.
They lost Slater, and now Joe Alt slides over to the left side. I'm a believer in the way Harbaugh views it. The tip of the spear is that offensive line. I'm not saying every year you invest in it, but God, I'd love to see them just take a couple linemen.
One thing you got to consider, too, is they've been a really good team. So have they had those picks to take those premium linemen in the first 10 or 15 picks, Bedoni? Now I'm looking at something here. Drake Jackson, second round.
It's a huge whiff.
2022.
95-7 the game.
Oh, boy.
Breaking news.
What do we got?
It happened, guys. He's gone. Source, according to Tom Pelissero, the 49ers are waving kicker Jake Moody.
He's gone.
I thought we were going to... Was it Kuminga?
I thought Kuminga.
Is it Purdy?
I know Kuminga.
I have no idea. So Jake Moody's gone.
According to sources from Tom Pelissero just now.
Dong, you know what? At least they didn't allow him to cost them a game. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I wish him well. I hope he does well at his next location.
Wow.
I'm not mad at him. But going back to this conversation about, you know, draft picks, and when you miss on them, we always go back to, well, this guy hit and this guy is.
Right.
Third round kicker, it's just... It's going to be tough to get the general public in your favor unless that guy is great.
Unless
not
he's
good,
Sebastian
great.
Janikowski.
Exactly.
See, he wasn't even great. He
no, if it was anything 40 or under, right. I would not trust Seabass. It had to be 50 or above only.
I was just going to bring up Drake Jackson, wow. 61 overall, second round pick in 2022.
It's a huge whiff.
The Hawks, Seahawks, in that same draft, 11 picks later, took Abe Lucas.
Who's a nice player.
So, Jake Moody gone. Wow. Shanahan did not mess around. 24 hours later, somebody had a conversation, and yesterday on that presser, he said, all options are open. And when you see Matt Prater.
No question, he's gone is now the way.
When you see Matt Prater get on the red eye and get the call and go 3-for-3 in Buffalo, Niners had to make this
move. When I watched that game the other night, Buffalo versus the Baltimore Ravens, and the way that they kneeled the ball with the clock ticking and no timeouts, ran the special teams unit out there, kicked a field goal in under 25 seconds, and did it pretty effortlessly to win the game, I said, I don't think the Niners can do that.
We saw KC. We also watched last night Cairo Santos.
Yes.
You gotta know your personnel, people. Hey, Ben Johnson, if you know your kicker can't boot it through the end zone, take the penalty because the time is much more important than the field position at that point. Drove me absolutely insane. That literally lost them the game yesterday, just not knowing that. By the way, I got to shout out our very own Bonte Hill. You had that tweet out within like a minute of that happening while you were talking with us on air. That is impressive stuff, Bonte Hill.
Some people can multitask.
Wow.
Some women lie. Say,
how long have you had that tweet saved in your draft? Be honest.
Some women say you can't multitask. I'm not one of those men.
No. I want to know how long you've had that tweet saved in your draft.
Well, club tweet, so he couldn't have had it in his draft.
Well, he had to go. He had to go after Sunday when players are throwing helmets and they're ticked off. Read the room here.
Oh,
read the room.
When Pam Oliver's reporting this.
That missed kick is really causing some frustration down on the 49ers sideline. I saw two thrown helmets and a lot of ticked off looking players. Kyle Shanahan praised Moody. When we spoke to him, he felt that the kicker would rebound from last season. He did have an injury, though, but he felt like that Moody's healthy and should make his kicks.
And he didn't, and now he's gone. The 49ers, if you're just joining us, per Tom Pelissero, have waived kicker Jake Moody.
Third round pick. Unbelievable.
That is great.
It really bugged me. You know, Madden usually gets it right in the video game.
Oh, okay.
It bugged me that he had star development headed into this year. No, it did.
He had a great leg, man.
He does have a leg.
Jake Moody has a great leg.
Oh,
you know what? A lot of kickers, they do resurface and they're better elsewhere. Maybe a change of scenery will help him.
Sure.
He's going to come back to bite the Niners if he has spots. He's going to get a job somewhere.
But Bonte, the Niners, in my life, they're best suited finding the veteran who, for whatever reason, bounced around. Look at Joe Nedney, okay? David Green Acres, Robbie Gould, who was the other? Phil Dawson comes to mind. Those guys were like, hey, they got cut from their last spot, but they're solid, they're older. Like, that's what the Niners need to go with.
Recent example, I think Daniel Carlson was like a fourth or fifth round pick from the Vikings, and they cut him. I remember Zimmer cut him after a couple games. Goes to the Raiders, been there ever since in 2018. He's been all pro a couple times.
You guys brought up the Ravens and Bills game. How about that Ravens kicker? They just drafted him.
Oh, Luke.
He looked like a 15 year
and pro. Right down the middle,
Spadoni.
Tyler Loop
would power. I was like, damn, he's booming him. And that place is not easy to kick at Highmark, formerly Rich Ralph Wilson Stadium, up there in Buffalo, man. But Jake Moody gone. Jake Moody's gone. Nah. No, you had to do it. You had to do it after that game.
You had to do it.
I'm not even laughing. This guy's going to cost you. But the Brett Boyer quote just sounds more and more ridiculous.
Could change his career. It's one of those kicks.
I just needed the inside stun now. It could change his career.
I mean, you know what this tells me, to your point about the player? I do think the players, somebody got to Shanahan and was like, you can't do this. Maybe Shanahan was cognizant of it as well, but... thank God. They couldn't go 17 weeks.
No.
They couldn't.
Do you think Shanahan watched the broadcast back and heard Pam Oliver?
No, how about Greg Olsen? You can't. What was the play the one?
Can you play to Olsen? Yeah, this is crazy.
This is incredible.
He said the field goal team is a disaster.
No, he goes against you can't.
They're going to go. Yeah, you can't. Now, that'd be three red zone three red zone attempts that you get down there, and the field goal team's been a disaster. So this is the right move, and now... Dominic Pooney, the right guard, he's being tended to down on the field.
You can.
Greg Olsen and Joe Davis are on fire, dude, by the way. Joe Davis was trolling Jake Moody in that game.
Dude, Olsen jumped in with the you can't. Field goal teams at the set.
They're going to go. Yeah, you can.
I love Greg Olsen.
He's the
I
best. I said that to the whole crew.
He's slightly better than Aikman. I love Aikman.
Greg Olsen.
But Greg Olsen's my guy.
Dude, he had some lines in here that I wrote down during the broadcast on different route concepts right. that he called them specific. The Shake 7, you got to sell the post. I'm like, never heard that. I love that. Like, he gave me some great stuff. One last time, for old time's sake, can you give me Kicker Watch?
Oh, it's not going away.
Kicker Watch. Jacob Moody.
It sucks, you know, situationally. You just got to move forward and make the next kick.
If you're just tuning in right now, Jake Moody is no longer a San Francisco 49er. He's been waived.
I swear to God. That preseason game where David Lombardi's tweeting about Jake Moody's accepting our apologies right now. And I came in that Monday morning and said, it's all fine and dandy when you line up on the left hash up at Lumen Field from 48. Williams from 27, and he doinked it. You don't cape for kickers. I'm sorry. I like the pick initially. I did. And you know what? He made two long kicks in the Super Bowl. I'll give him credit for
that. This team has now cut a fourth-round punter and a third-round kicker.
It's unbelievable.
As we talk about offensive line. Right. Now can you understand where... And I'm not saying you got to take your first pick or your second pick. But, like, you wasted a fourth-round punter and a third-round kicker, and both aren't on the team. Like, yeah, I think it's fair to be like, yeah, you need to adjust your philosophies and invest in the offensive line. I'm sorry.
Something we don't have to cut, though, Carter, it's Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
I said this a week ago. Look, this player is a great player. I'm not saying this youngster is close to this player in terms of impact and what they got going in terms of at the plate. Oh. But the energy I get from Drew Gilbert gives me Hunter Pence-like vibes. Modern, crazy, psycho man. That kid, something's off with him, Drew Gilbert for the San Francisco Giants, and I love him.
He likes to be choked.
I love him. I don't know about that part, but I love him. Every dugout needs a Drew Gilbert.
Do we need to have Carter in here after, like, we have an awesome take? Carter or Sam comes in here and chokes Jaspie or all? Do you want to start doing that going forward?
Hey, you know, my final pause. Is Carter's highlight tape in high school. He was bossing dudes at Stuart Hall. What? I couldn't believe it. He missed his calling. If he would have got his ass in shape, he would have been the best tight end in pro football history. 6'8", 280. Oh, you missed your calling, Carter.
You would have drafted him in the third round. There you go.
Stuart
Hall had a football team?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do they have one now?
Oh, we're 11, man. And we had a recent win in an exhibition game that someone next to you doesn't want to speak about out loud.
Oh, he's keeping records of joint practices. He's Elliot Short, works on the West Coast.
Yeah, he called me that. I didn't like that.
That's fidelity. You want to talk about ridiculousness. Thank God we're in the regular season. Thank God.
Hey, we're back. Week one was on fire. I can't wait for week two. By the way, if we're doing week one overreactions, Tom Brady, owner. Minority owner of Las Vegas Raiders knows what he's doing. Pete Carroll and Geno over Ben Johnson and Caleb any day. He knows what he's doing. 1-0.
Geno's 6 years older. I mean, like I like Geno better than him, but like there was an age factor in this.
There was.
Just win, baby.
There it is.
Just win,
7 o'clock start time on Monday Night Football next week. By the way, what are we doing?
Oh, man.
7 o'clock?
Sir, morning host. Worst nightmare.
Oh, my God. That's going to be a good one, though, at Allegiant. Herbert, Geno, Pete Carroll, and Jim Harbaugh. What's your deal? What's your deal, Joe?
I forgot about that.
I'm never going to forget about that. Bonte, what's your deal? What's your final thought?
These Giants, man.
Can't quit them?
I can't quit them. I thought I was done Saturday. I was like, all right, that's it. Stick a fork in
them.
Well,
then Sunday.
But the Mets keep leaving the door open for the Giants. They got three left against Philly, three against Texas and Bochy and company. There's a chance, man.
Oh, God.
There's a chance.
Are you bringing Bob Melvin back?
You have to, right?
Don't ask me that right now.
Bob Melatonin?
That's
funny.
I didn't say that.
That's funny.
It's Red Bull, Bob, at this point. They're on fire right now, bro. Come on.
Bob Melvin got a pep in his step.
That's right.
But his presser's been on fire. He's smiling. I haven't seen him smile like this all year long. They're hitting the hell out of the ball. Jung Hoo Lee looks like a factor. Adamus endeavors.
I haven't seen Bob this excited since bingo last week during the early bird dinner.
See, Bob, that wasn't me, Bob.
Stop!
That wasn't me. I would never do that. By the way, tune in to Giants pre and post tonight.
Oh, what's your record?
And every night.
What's your record?
Got nothing. Oh, I'm 6-16.
Oh,
Zito. So much for that playoff run.
Six and sixteen. I haven't beat the Padres yet.
Oh my God, you're the Carolina Panthers this season. Yeah, that was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee.
Totally losing tonight.
One consistent internet price for the next 5 years guaranteed.
Sorry, stupid jerseys.
Hey, Florida State, are they 2-0?
Oh, Florida State, October 4th. I got a bet with Tetla over at NBC because he's a Hurricane fan. And Lubman, we got a bet coming too. I want lunch. Miami's coming to Dope Campbell Stadium, buddy. They're coming to Dope.
Well, they got to get through USF this week, who've been knocked down Boise State and Florida last week.
They're playing the 51 Dons?
Yeah. Hey, don't sleep on USF.
Hey, how about the lefty from Cal?
It's not bad.
How about
Sanders? What's his name?
Like, do you want to interview him? I don't want to say him. I'm not going to say his name.
What is it? Jalen?
I'm not doing it. You know,
he's throwing dimes.
Yeah, he is throwing
dimes. What team in the SEC?
What's his name? Shasky?
I can't. I followed him on the internet, but I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Jaren Chiave Sagapulatelli.
What are we doing? How about San Jose State? I was pulling so hard for San Jose State. God,
Sparty up.
You it was 0-0. I went and got coffee. I came back to the cabin. It was 21-0.
You and Chris Townsend. Steiny and E-Dog filling in for Goon
Franzen.
Next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.